Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being out on an awesome, exactly wonderful Michigan summer day. 1 John 3. We're making our way slowly but steadily through the book of 1 John. Beginning at verse 10 through verse 15. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Amen to that. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. May God add the blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father, we bow in Your presence. We thank You for the Lord's Day as we conclude together. As Daniel has prayed, we just say amen. And Father, we ask that You be our teacher. Bless this time. Use Your Word to feed us and equip us that we would indeed respond to its doctrine, to its reproof, its correction, and its instruction in righteousness, that we might be the people of God, thoroughly furnished to all good works. We love you and praise you tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In 1 John 3, there are both truths and tests that John reveals. The truth is found in verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Both God and Satan have children. They have their qualities and characteristics. There's the truth. If I am not a child of God, what does that mean? I'm a child of Satan. There has to come a point in time, dear one, that we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Until then, we are lost. I received a magazine in the mail just this week. And I love this story because it illustrates the fact that I have to be born into the family of God. I'm not drifting into that. I'm not on my parents' coattails. I had to personally place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I love this story of a Marine who went to a sporting goods store. Here's what he said. Over 5 years ago, I was standing in line at a sporting goods store, and what happened next could only be God's divine intervention. While waiting to check out, I noticed a young man behind me missing a leg. And in its place was a prosthetic. Immediately, our eyes connected. Instantly, I knew from the Lord that he wanted to hurt himself or hurt someone. After checking out, I followed him to his car as I wanted to tell him what I saw on his face. walking behind him and trying to get his attention. He just kept walking, got into his Jeep. I approached his window and I noticed a Department of Defense sticker on his window from a Marine base. And I knew he must be a Marine. Standing at his window, he yelled from behind the window with rage, "What do you want?" I too am a Marine and knew of our camaraderie and immediately said, "I am a Marine." "Oh." And he rolled down his window. I began to tell him what I saw in his face in line. And he began to cry and said, "How could you possibly know something like that?" I proceeded to tell him, "I am a believer in God. I am a Christian, and that God loved him enough to show me that." I asked him what he was going through and that I noticed his leg. He told me that he was blown up in Afghanistan in a Humvee. He lost his leg, his other leg totally mangled, many more surgeries, nearly 3 years in a military hospital. Nearly every bone was broken or fractured in his body, and he was now home, having to deal with all that comes with that. Medication mixed with alcohol and other things, a body blown up, and the mental scars of war plagued him. I told him, "God is real. He loves you." I ministered to him, telling him the God who created the universe loves you enough for us to be having this conversation. I gave him my number and told him to go home and pray and God would reveal himself to him. His name's Corey. A few days later, he called and mentioned that he prayed and knew that God was real but did not know what to do next. We met for lunch and he said those simple words, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior." And instantly he was saved. I would like to say all was perfect after that, but then he did not talk to me for over a year and ignored me as he now had conviction about the way he was living. Eventually, we would reunite. And since then, God has freedom of substance abuse. His wife has been saved. God has given them a beautiful baby boy. He and his family attend church and he works for Mission Cry, helping change lives around the world. What a mighty God we serve. Children of God and children of Satan. Those are the truths. Either I am a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or if not, dear ones, I am an enemy of God. I am in need of a Savior. Those are the truths. The tests. How do I know who I belong to? How do I know? There comes that point that we can know. Corey found out about that when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You found out about it the day you got saved. The tests. How do I know? What's the acid test that I belong to Jesus Christ? John says there are two. One has to deal with my conduct. He says it in verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Stop right here. Does that mean I have to be perfect? No, let's go back to 1 John 2. Look with me at verse 1. Here's what John is talking about. Where's my heart? My little children, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I love the word advocate because in Russian, the word for attorney is advokat. I have somebody that works on my behalf. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an accuser, Satan, who wants to accuse us before the Father. There's a powerful picture of that in the Old Testament. In Zechariah 3, one of my favorite passages, Israel is compared in Zechariah 3 to that child of God who is accused by the enemy. The accuser, Satan, points at Israel and demands that Israel be destroyed. But there is an advocate on the behalf of Israel. Zechariah 3. Check it out on your own. And dear ones, in Revelation 12, we have the picture of the advocate on our behalf. Satan accuses us before the Father's throne. We have an advocate on our behalf. And so in 1 John 3, the heart of the issue is, how do I live? Go back with me now to chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. The truths, I can know if I am a child of God or if I am not. The tests of that are twofold. How do I live? How do I love? How do I live? How do I love? May I ask you a question? Why are you here tonight? It's a beautiful night. Michigan at its finest. Why are you here? Because you love the brethren. Because you love the Lord. Because we love His Word. That's why we're here. The world doesn't want to come. They don't want to be part of this. We're here. There is a test that you're passing, my friend. You're here because you love the brethren. That's test number two. How do I live? How do I love? There are the tests. Dear ones, John puts it plainly and simply. In the 21st century or in the first century, God's standard hasn't changed. We demonstrate we belong to Him by how we live. We looked at it this morning. God defends His name. He defends His Word and He defends His people. He won't let His name be mocked. Doesn't that sound like a Bible verse? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. God is not mocked. And you want to take great comfort? Notice that it says, who practices righteousness. There is no subheading as to defining what righteousness is. It's living like what God's called us to live. It's taking His Word seriously and living out the principles, truths, standards of His Word. That's righteousness. There's a better way. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's righteousness, friend. Against such there is no law. That's how we know. We know from the fact that God's life is in us. How do I know that I'm righteous? Because I'm living what God has called me to do as a child of God. If I'm not doing what God has called me to do, I'm disobeying. And if I belong to God, He chastens us. Hebrews chapter 11. There's three discipline chapters in the Word of God. Proverbs 3, Romans 5, and Hebrews 12. God makes it clear that if I belong to Him,
going to correct his child.
He chastens us. Scourges us, the writer of the book of Hebrews says. He chastens and scourges his child. If we do not have that, then we are not the children of God. My dear friend, in the 21st century, today, June 14, 2020, it's the most important truth we need to know. Do I belong to Him? If I do belong to Him, am I living for Him? And am I loving others? Two truths, two tests. The children of God, the children of Satan. Now he continues in that. How do I love? One of the reasons I love this testimony that Mission Cry used. Why do I tell people about Jesus? Why do I want to tell people about Jesus? Because I love them. Because God loves them. There's only one way to be saved. And God's put a burden on our heart to tell the lost. That's why we do it. And that's why I was touched by this man who saw this soldier and reached out to him, and the rest is history. How God used that encounter to bring him to Jesus Christ. Why are we here? Because we love the brethren. Why do I share the gospel? Why do I build into people's lives? Why do we serve others? Because we love them. Because God loves them and we are His extension. Now, if I don't love, what happens? Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Early in one of the first times that I started coming here to Antioch, Brian and Barb and their family were in between housing. Paul stood up and said, they are in need of housing. They are in need of meals. Make sure that you meet that need. Or something on that order. I remember that. I said, what a great reminder. How do we show we love one another? By meeting our needs. By meeting our needs. That is the evidence that you belong to Him. We want to be with each other. We want to serve one another. One of the things that we've learned out of Corona is how important it is to meet together. When we're forced, we can't go to church. We can't be with each other. We dry up. God designed us to be part of a family, dear ones. His family. And He makes it clear in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of the manner of some is. Oh, thank you. It's fresh, too. I just got to break the seal. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Dear ones, we learned how important it was to be together. How much we need each other. That's a test. You pass the test. Because my heart's here. My heart's desire is to be with God's people. And because of that, John gives us a reminder For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In the margin of your Bible, please write John 13, 34 and 35. That's exactly where the Lord Jesus issued that command. We should love one another. Now there's a negative example. Here is what I don't want you to do. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Cain becomes a type of false religion. It has all of the appearance. He had an altar in Genesis 4. He had an altar. He brought the best that he had, the works of the field. But he rejected the message of substitution. There was no blood. In Bible school at Grand Rapids, we were urged to go visit different churches. And there was a church in Grand Rapids known as Fountain Street Church. At one time, Fountain Street Church had been a vibrant evangelical and evangelistic fellowship. In fact, over its door it had the verse, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." But down through the time, others came in and moved that church from a solid evangelical, evangelistic church to an apostate church, a liberal fountain of error. When I was at Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music, the name of the pastor was Dr. Duncan Littlefair. Upon graduation, Kay and I got married, and we were living in Grand Rapids, and I worked at the bank, Union Bank, in downtown. Man came to my window one day, and I looked at his check, and I looked at him, and I looked at his check again, and I said, "So," I didn't tell him this, but I said it in my mind, "So, you're Dr. Duncan Littlefaith, Littlefair." There he was, standing at my window, right in front of me, Dr. Duncan Littlefair, the pastor of Fountain Street Church. Not as Cain. Cain hated his brother. And by the way, the first murder was related to religion, folks. Let's narrow it down. It was related to faith. Cain hated his brother because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain and his. Cain in his anger, Cain in his hatred, murdered his brother. And John says, please don't be surprised. Don't marvel at the fact that the world hates you. It's okay. It's an evidence of whose child they are. It's the evidence that they don't belong to God. It comes down to my heart. Who owns my heart? Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Why did Cain murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Here's the test. We know. Oida. A perfect knowledge. A perceived understanding, comprehension. Oida. Perfect knowledge. We totally understand that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. And our first pastorate up in Alpena, a lady came one Sunday morning. And she said, I live just a little ways away and I've seen this church and it's near me and I want to come and see what you folks are all about. And so she came. And then she brought her husband. He came and his first Sunday there, you could smell the alcohol in his breath. He handed me a $100 bill. You got to help keep up the church. And so he gave us $100. His wife kept coming. He kept coming. His wife came to know Jesus Christ. She got saved. And I started meeting with them in their home, and I had a Bible study booklet. I had my Bible, and on the table was a dictionary. And every word we didn't understand, we were going through the dictionary to find it. Eventually, he came to know Jesus Christ. And one night, it was a Wednesday night for prayer meeting. She was praying and it was a joy. She said, God, would you take care of your family? It sure is a big one. Have you found God's family to be big, my dear friend? God's family is big. It goes around the world. The saying used to be, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, dear ones, the sun never sets on the family of God. It's a big one. And we're part of that because of Jesus Christ. And if we know Him, we'll live for Him. We'll live like Him. And I love that there's no subheading. Here is what righteousness looks like. We know, don't we? We know. John's not the only one to write about that. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in Romans 6, chapters 6, 7, and 8. He wrote about it in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 16. He wrote about it in Philippians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Peter simply puts it like this. Be holy, for I am holy. One night I was in a synagogue on a Friday night. And the rabbi asked the question, what four-letter word characterizes the Jewish people? People took a guess. I said, Rabbi, the four-letter word I think you're looking for is holy. Because that's exactly what God said to the Jewish people. Be ye holy. For I am holy. And dear ones, as representatives of the Messiah, as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, the command comes to you and to me, be holy, for I am holy. We have Him living in us. We represent Him before that watching world. Are we perfect, dear ones? No! But oh, are we saved? Yeah. He is in us. And how long is He in us for? Thank you for asking. How long is He in us for? Forever. We have eternal life. And John drives home that significance that we love one another. Because if we don't love one another, we are abiding in death. Notice it in verses 14 and 15. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. God steps on my toes every time I read, study, and preach 1 John. He's doing it again. This command is so powerful and vital, dear ones. It's not only powerful, it's vital. Because how we love is how we demonstrate to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ. When I don't love, when we are in contention, it's a mixed message. In 1 John 2, John says that same thing. Look at it with me, would you please? In 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him, but he who hates his brother. Now notice this. Is in darkness, walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It is so very important that we love one another. Because that's the hallmark of God's people. One chorus put it like this. Behold how they love one another. And it shows in the way that they care. Behold how they love one another. And it shows in the burdens they bear. Dear ones, the attraction in the early church of the first century was that love. How the Christians treated those in their fellowship who died. They saw the way that they treated and cared for the family, for the one who passed away. And that became a testament of the validity of their faith. How do I show that I am a child of God? By how I live and how I love. That's how I show that I am a child of God. Behold how they love one another. Because if I don't, I'm walking in darkness, I am in darkness, and I am in death. dear ones, two truths. I am either a child of God or a child of his adversary. I am a child of Satan. Two tests. How we live, how we love. From God's viewpoint, are we passing his test? The outcome is significant. It impacts eternity. Thank you, Father, for this night and our time together.